There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Twisted Tuesday continues, as does the countdown to the National Football League draft. Hard to believe, but we're just a little more than 2 weeks away right now from doing this thing. Let's get down to business with one of the best in the business, Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, allaccessfootball.com, in the house. Rick, let's do this thing. We're 2 weeks away, baby.
Oh, baby, buckle up. Let's get biblical with it.
All right, so let's start off with, you know, the... It's kind of set in stone right now, or at least people believe it is. I can't believe the odds, actually. Minus 2,500, 25-1 for Cam Ward to be the number one pick in the NFL draft right now.
Well, you know, I heard the Titans owner actually went on the private visit or the 30 visit or the pro day visit, whatever visit it was. Amy Trunk Adams, I believe her name is, who you don't hear much of, was actually in on the meeting with Cam Ward. I think that says a lot about how intent they were on making Cam Ward that number one pick. I think the pro day sealed the deal there. And ironically enough, I think the pro day, the showcase, I shall say, in Boulder, funny enough, like if you go back to Andrew Berry's comments at the Combine where he said he preferred Travis Hunter as a wide receiver, you know, a funny thing happened at the pro day. Shedeur Sanders' leadership came out because we were getting reports, if you watch the NFL Network, Travis Hunter was not going to work out. But a funny thing happened. Shedeur said, yo, we need you out here with my dogs, with my team, with my crew. And suddenly Travis Hunter said, you know what? I'm going to ride with you one last time. Let's do it. Let's do it as a wide receiver. And I think, you know, that kind of sealed the deal for Travis Hunter going number two to Cleveland.
All right. So as it is right now, 2,500 for Cam Ward, just for the record, if anybody's out there and just wants to play devil's advocate and say, no, Cam Ward's not going to be the top pick. Abdul Carter is plus 1,200. Travis Hunter is plus 3,300. Shedeur Sanders, 50-1. Mason Graham, 100-1. As far as the second pick is concerned, as you just stated, Rick, it seems to be a belief right now that is starting to settle in that Travis Hunter will be a Cleveland Brown, and for the record, Travis Hunter wants Roger Goodell to introduce him as a DB and wide receiver on the podium when he is drafted. It's in the minus 240 range right now, Rick. So Travis Hunter to be the second pick is more than a 2-1 favorite. Abdul Carter plus 170. Shedeur Sanders 12-1 to be the second pick. So let's just say that, all right, we believe this, that Travis Hunter will be the second pick in the draft. The New York Giants, the third pick of the draft. This is where it gets interesting, Rick. And the sportsbooks have Abdul Carter at minus 200 to be the third pick in the draft. So not for the Giants to take him, but the third pick of the draft, Abdul Carter minus 200. You could argue, okay, you add him to a defensive line. It's already got a ton of talent, and it would be a very impressive defensive line. Travis Hunter is plus 200, but we think he's going to go second. Shedeur Sanders is plus 450 right now to go to the New York Giants. What are your thoughts on what the Giants are thinking right now, Rick?
You know, Gabe, I don't see how this pick isn't Shedeur Sanders because, quite frankly, there are no more do-overs in New York. And if you go to war with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, you'll be out of a job next year. That's the bottom line. That's not an argument. That's a fact. Okay, so you got to go Shedeur Sanders. Otherwise, there is no next year. There is no future of the New York Football Giants. Not with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll at the helm. Now, they've done a great job duping the beat reporters who think they're on the case, but I didn't see them down there in Dallas at the East-West Shrine Bowl. None of them. None of the Giants beat reporters, where the whole Giants franchise was down there, 30 of them, wooing and courting Shedeur Sanders. I don't see it with Abdul Carter Jr. I gotta see it to believe it. I think this is Shedeur Sanders.
I'm buying what you're selling here in the sense that the New York Giants, I think, have done a good job of not talking about Shedeur Sanders suddenly, except we all know that they love him. So what would have changed, Rick? Shedeur didn't do anything bad. Like there was no negative that they suddenly wouldn't love him. Dable's been pretty picky about the quarterback. Supposedly he's liked them. This goes back even to him throwing the football around and stuff with Malik Nabers. And at plus 450, I think it's worth a shot here. As you stated, if you were a really good football team, yeah, sure, all right, let's get Abdul Carter here. But if you're the Giants, you got Russell Wilson. You brought it up. We talked about it last week. Russell Wilson's on a one-year deal. Who cares? It's $10 million, upwards of 20 if he hits incentives. Jameis Winston's brought in on, $4 million a year or something like that. So it seems, it makes a lot of sense right now. But the sports books, they're at the mercy of the media, Rick, and the media has been burying Shedeur Sanders. So Shedeur Sanders right now, his draft position has fallen to 8.5 as far as the prop is concerned. 8.5, and a lot of people in the Bayou are really praying that he's going to fall to 9 because they'll pull the trigger in New Orleans. But over 8.5 is minus 200, Rick, so they think it's going to be an upset if Shedeur Sanders goes in the top 8 picks, plus 160 right now to be a top 8 pick.
I mean, the scrutiny this young man has received, you think back at the polarizing prospects throughout NFL draft history. This guy's been more scrutinized than Ryan Leaf. I can't think of a quarterback that's been under the microscope. Nobody talks about anything positive that he does. It's all negative, negative, negative. And all he's done is resurrect two programs from the ashes. I mean, I don't get it. I think we're going to look back and see what a grave mistake and how much the media underestimated Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, I am a Shedeur Sanders fan, and I get it. It's part of the smear campaign, but he seems to be really – he seems to be getting it more than more than some others have in the past. So 8.5 for Shedeur Sanders. Over 8.5 is minus 200. Under 8.5 is plus 160. The New England Patriots are an interesting team as well, Rick. They've got a lot of holes to fill. Vrabel is a meat and potatoes guy. You got to protect your franchise quarterback. What do you think the Patriots are going to do? As we look at the fourth overall pick, Will Campbell is the favorite at plus 100. Membau is plus 300. Abdul Carter is plus 350. What do you think? Are they going to go offensive line? The sports books seem to think so.
Well, if we stick to our gut, Abdul Carter is going to be on the board for them. I think they'd have to pull the trigger. I know they signed Harold Landry from Tennessee, who was with Vrabel down there. But why not pair him, bookends, Abdul Carter, Harold Landry, you got Christian Barmore in the center of that defensive line. They signed Milton Williams. You'd arguably have the best defensive line in the entire National Football League. I understand Will Campbell. I understand Armand Membo. You want to protect Drake May. Membo's another funny one because prior to his combine performance, nobody had him pegged as a top tackle or coming off the board that high. But I think, if Carter is on the board, that's great value, what you said, plus 350.
And it's pretty good value for the Patriots as well, right? Some people would have Carter graded number one. I know different teams have different power rankings, but if you're a team and you're able to get Abdul Carter with the fourth pick, you're going to be pretty happy, aren't you?
Absolutely. You're going to do cartwheels handing in that podium card.
Rick Saratella in the house with us. So Shedeur at plus 450 to the Giants, just throwing out some value picks here. Abdul Carter plus 350 to the New England Patriots. The Jacksonville Jags are drafting fifth, and people, mock drafts, have the Jags all over the place. Mel Kiper has done 5 mock drafts, and he said he's more convinced that about any player going to a certain team than Mason Graham.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Tuesday continues. This is Sports Ridge. I am Gable Morenci, Sports Grid Radio and Television Network, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We're just talking NFL Draft with Rick Saratella right now. NFL Draft Bible, All Access Football.com, talking about the Jags. We were on the 5th pick when we went to the break, Rick. So they have a lot of options, though, and they have a new coach in here right now. Mason Graham does make a lot of sense. Obviously, I'm a big Mason Graham fan, but I'm seeing some people think that they're going to surprise people and go with Ashton Jeanty with the 5th pick. Ashton Jeanty is plus 800 to be the 5th pick. Mason Graham minus 150. Membau plus 550. Jalen Walker, as you were just discussing as we went into the break, plus 700, Rick, and then Jeanty plus 800. And then Tyler Warren 9-1.
Well, you know, I will say this, like Ashton Jeanty to me feels more like a luxury pick for a contending team that maybe can afford to take a running back there. I don't see the Jaguars being a running back away from contending. Now, Trevor Lawrence is coming off, I think, a throwing shoulder injury. Maybe they want to alleviate some pressure there. I can understand that logic. We did talk about the offensive linemen. Like, if Shador goes 3 and Carter goes 4, well, then the Jaguars would also have the opportunity to take the best offensive tackle. So maybe Will Campbell or Armand Membo, I don't know what the odds are there, could have value.
As far as the Ashton Jeanty is concerned, the Raiders, who go right after the Jags, they're the overwhelming favorites to get Jeanty. Minus 140. The Chicago Bears are plus 230. Cowboys are plus 900. So as you just stated, and I understand your point, Rick, and hell, even Saquon Barkley, as good as he is, he was drafted on a not a very good New York Football Giant team, and they still weren't very good with him, right? So, right? I mean, the facts are facts. But the Raiders a little bit different, even though they're not, technically a good team per se, but they also have a coach. He's not 32 years old, right? I mean, Pete Carroll brought in Geno Smith right now. You know, they're trying to win now, right? I don't think the Raiders are building for the future right now. They're trying to piece something together pretty quickly here. And Ashton Jeanty would be a pretty big piece of what they would like to do. You know, Pete Carroll's always had that bell cow running back.
Yeah, it makes too much sense, right? Carroll brings instant credibility. They're going to be respectable. Like the combination of Pete Carroll and Geno Smith, this is a 500 team out of the gate. So if they can get a guy like Jeanty, which ironically Tom Brady in New England never really had a bell cow running back, but it would make a lot of sense in terms of what the Raiders are trying to do. Now, one of the interesting scenarios here is if we believe the Giants beat reporters and they go Abdul Carter, well, suddenly Shador Sanders is there for the take. And wouldn't that be interesting to see Shador in the silver and black?
Very interesting. And, you know, a team that it seems would make a lot of sense. But as I say, this one, Geno Smith, and they paid him pretty significantly as well. This isn't like a Russell Wilson situation, right? Or even a Justin Fields situation, which the Jets are another story. We talked about the Giants, but so just to wrap up with Genty, so the Raiders are -140, the Bears are +230, Cowboys 9-1, Jags 12-1, Saints 16-1. And I got to tell you, if there's one team that's been connected with everybody in the draft, Rick, it's the Saints, right? Kellen Moore liked Jackson Dart, but now they're thinking, oh, my God, Shedeur Sanders might be there with the ninth pick. I've heard the Saints connected to a lot of different players. They've got a lot of holes to fill here, but Kellen Moore would no doubt like to get a quarterback, sit him behind Carr for a year. What are you hearing about the Saints right now? And then we'll get to the Jets.
Well, they need everything, Gabe. I mean, when you're a team that needs everything, you're just hoping that the best player available slides down to you. And if Shedeur Sanders is off the board, I think there's a very good chance. They've been sniffing around Jackson Dart. They've been sniffing around Jalen Milroe. I'm going to go out on a limb. I don't know what the over-under is for quarterbacks in the first round. I saw Jalen Milroe get the invite to the draft. I think Dart or Milroe could be in play for the Saints. I think there's going to be four, count them, four quarterbacks in round number uno.
We have odds for this right now. Quarterbacks drafted in the first round, over-under 2.5. -290 to the over, though. So under is +220. I'm sure in time, you know, it'll evolve into 3.5 and there'll be different options. But this is, you asked, this is what I see right now. Look, I pulled the trigger on that future play with Jackson Dart to be in the top 23.5, I believe it was. It went down. Yeah, yeah. I'm not sure, though, now. And it just so, yeah, I got 23.5, Rick. But it's fallen to 24.5 right now. I don't know how much difference that actually makes. But, you know, we were talking about, like, the Pittsburgh Steelers seem to be a good landing spot for a Jackson Dart.
I think the Steelers, whether it's Dart or Milroe, like, even if they sign Aaron Rodgers, which I don't know, I think is a 50-50 proposition, like, who's on that roster? Mason Rudolph? Like, they got to do something there. You know, they got to buy last year with the whole Russell Wilson, Justin Fields experiment. They got to create some stability there. I mean, I could see them taking a quarterback.
What do you think about the New York Jets? So the Jets have there's a new sheriff in town, and I thought it was interesting, and I agree with what Aaron Glenn said. He said the number one thing that we need to do here is just change the culture, right? You know, change the culture in the room, change the culture of the football team. This is a football team with a lot of talent already, Rick. So if you're the Jets, what are you looking at in the draft here?
Well, how about out of state college, number 44, a guy who wears 44 because of a former New York Jet in the name of John Riggins, Tyler Warren. I think
I don't want that as a Bills fan. I don't want that.
This guy, you talk about a competitive nature, a killer on the field. Like, this guy, give him the ball, he lines up in line. He lines up in the slot. He lines up out wide. He lines up as a fullback, a quarterback, a wildcat. He was a high school quarterback, by the way. He had touchdowns throwing the ball, running the ball, catching the ball. I mean, this guy, you pair him with Justin Fields and, dare I say, Breece Hall, who might be on the trade block, by the way, and Garrett Wilson, suddenly the Jets' offense is zooming, baby.
So team to draft Tyler Warren, and Rick's on top of this because they're the favorites right now, +200. Jets +200, Colts +300, Saints +700, Bears +1,000, 10-1. What this tells me when you look at the odds, because look, dude, the Saints, you know, the Saints are picking 9. The Jets are there, what, 7? Look at the massive drop-off. They're convinced that...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
A couple more minutes with Rick Saratella. Man, time just goes by quickly when we're talking football. Listen, we had the NCAA tournament. Baseball is back right now, but now the next couple of weeks, you're going to see the NFL. Everybody else will start talking about the NFL draft, but you've heard it here first all year long. And, you know, this is, there's still a lot of value on the board here, but we got to, you know, we got to get it right with the teams. That Jets plus 200 does seem to make a ton of sense for Tyler Warren from Penn State. Rick, couple other players on the board here right now as far as draft position is concerned. So we talked about Genty. Genty's at 9.5 right now, over under 9.5. Under 9.5 is minus 250. I don't think he's going to last that long. You and I talked a little bit about our boy Colston Loveland. Warren's going to be the first tight end taken. Loveland will be the second tight end taken out of Michigan. It's 19.5, over 19.5, plus 120, under 19.5, minus 150. I think he might creep just over that number, Rick, and it seems to me that it makes a ton of sense that he lands with the Denver Broncos. Seems to be a good fit there for him.
Yeah, I could see that, but you know what, Gabe? I'm looking at the Colts, I think, at what, 14, 13, 14? The Colts are right there, and they could use a tight end too, and Anthony Richardson, who struggles, and I don't care if it's Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones, quite frankly, they both struggle throwing the ball downfield. Why not get them an underneath security blanket in Colston Loveland, who I continue to say gives me Heath Miller vibes. I love me some Colston Loveland.
I'm a big fan as well. Tough kid. Tough kid. All right, Rick, so before we get you out of here, UFL football week two. We wondered, and we talked about it, right? Birmingham didn't look good in week one. You expected Magoo to bounce back in week two, and it was kind of a disastrous start for him. He got hurt on like the first play of the game. Matt Corral came in, and it's a luxury that they have. Matt Corral has saved the day a couple of times for Birmingham, but Birmingham did get the W. They beat the Panthers 21-12. It wasn't pretty for DC, but DC are now 2-0. They come back on the Showboat 17-12. Wisenhunt was back with the Showboat, so you know, a lot of weird stuff going on there. Another wasn't very pretty. I thought the Renegades are going to murder the Roughnecks. They didn't, but they survived. They won 11-9, and then you got the Battle Hawks rolling on right now. What did you think about week two of the UFL?
Well, I think what you're seeing with Birmingham is in the long run, their depth is going to win out, not only at the quarterback position, but if you look at their two deep across the board, I mean, this is as deep of a roster as any franchise in the 8-team UFL. I will say it was good to see home games in both St. Louis and D.C. St. Louis, I believe, did 30,000. D.C. had about 16,000. The average attendance was up, so that was good. The TV ratings were a little down, so not so good. But I think what you're seeing, Gabe, is sustainability. The ratings are still there, 700,000, 900,000, floating in that range. It should be sustainable, and I think that's really all you can ask for at this point.
And you're going against the Final Four, too, right? There's going to be opportunities where the games will just be on. It'll only be going against baseball. The quality of the, you know, it wasn't pretty games, but I think the quality's been pretty good. I thought the week one quality was pretty good. A little sloppier in week two. We have a good game on Friday, and it's cool that they have a Friday night game of the week on Fox. Arlington Renegades, 2-0. Our boy Luis Perez getting 3 points against Birmingham. So Birmingham, 3-point favorites at home here, Rick. Hard not to like Birmingham here, actually, even though Arlington have looked good this year. Memphis, 3-point favorites over the Houston Roughnecks. The Brahmas have been struggling, plus 4.5 against the Michigan Panthers. And the D.C. Defenders go on the road getting 5.5 against the Battlehawks. That'll be a fun game.
Yeah, and I think that Birmingham matchup is going to be one of these games that actually go over. We haven't had a lot of games that go over. I think you'll see points on the board. And how about Luis Perez, one of the top-selling books right now, New York Times bestseller, King of the Spring, baby.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. We had him on at the Super Bowl. We're going to get him on again. I just wanted to let the season get rolling here, but nice to see him get his due. So, Rick, 2 weeks from the National Football League draft right now, and still some uncertainty. We'll catch up next week, and we'll break it down. We'll see what where the odds have moved, and we'll have more props posted from the sports book as well. We got one here on the way out, Rick. Over-under safeties, 1.5 in the first round. Over is minus 400. Is it a lock there's going to be two safeties in the first round this year?
Well, to me, Malachi Starks out of Georgia is my number one safety, and then Nick Amonwori out of South Carolina, I think, sneaks in there due to the measurables. If you remember, in Indianapolis, he jumped through the spoiler state.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Rick Saratella for joining us. Great stuff talking about the NFL draft. Hard to believe we're just 2 weeks away right now. I guess 16 days technically, but it's two Thursdays from now, so we're 2 weeks away. A great time of the year, NFL draft, NBA playoffs. Of course, Malone is out in Denver. A lot of people shocked by that blockbuster news, and there was big news in Montreal today. The Montreal Canadiens have been on a roll over the last couple of weeks. They're ending the season strong. Lane Hudson's been unbelievable as a rookie defenseman for them, but now it's just it's just one piece of good news after another in Montreal. Yvonne, they get their guy a hell of a lot, Demidov, a hell of a lot sooner than they thought they were going to get. Let's bring in Mo Khan right now. And they win tonight, Mo, after trailing most of the game. They end up winning 4-1 against Detroit. So they sign Demidov, and you have to wonder, okay, number one, they're hot. Number two, if there's a big difference between playing the KHL and just joining a team, especially a team that's going into the playoffs right now. But from what I understand, you know, they're going to see if he can handle it. What are you hearing? Is he going to play? How long is he going to be before he's going to be in the lineup? What line will it be on? I'm hearing they're going to give him like a top six opportunity. What are you hearing? What's the future going to hold for him? Like, well, the near off, future, like next week future, I mean.
Well, first off, Gabe, they were in shock. I think Habs Media and Habs Nation was in shock. They didn't think Demidov was going to come over this year. They thought
we'd never heard this. Yeah, there was no buzz about it even. It was just sudden.
None, right? And so now here he is, and the excitement went through the roof, right? The octaves has gone louder that they are super stoked to have him now in the lineup. It's going to be a top six line pairing here, depending if he goes on line two probably to help out that whole second line. Because right now, they're a one-line team, guys. That's what they are right now going towards the playoff. And who knows what Demidov's going to do in the playoffs, right? Because he'll get a couple of games before the end of the year is complete. And then by then, we'll see what Martin St. Louis and the staff sees in him. Because is he ready to play at that level? Because remember, 14 years ago or 15 years ago, P.K. Subban was in the same bracket as Demidov. He came in late in the year, and they threw him to the lines. And he held serve against Ovechkin, held serve against Crosby and Malkin, and did fairly well, right? But this is a different animal because Demidov has a lot of hype coming in. And, you know, he could have been easy a top two pick, ends up falling to the Canes at number five last summer. And by the grace of the good hockey gods out there, there is a belief that this franchise is on the cusp of now becoming not an elite team yet, but in that conversation towards that status, whether it's going to be 2, 3, if not 4 years from now, guys.
I think you could thank the hockey gods, but it's really Putin. He controls everything that goes on. No, it's true, though. He controls everything that goes on in that country. And he loves hockey. Like, yeah, he does. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. When he met with Trump recently, or when they spoke, whatever, they had their virtual call or whatnot, you have all these serious issues going on in the world, and Putin's big thing was he wanted to get Russia to play the USA in hockey. right? Like, he, you know, he's looking to get back into the international community. He wants to get the Russian hockey program back into these international competitions. And I think that's why he did this, Mo. Like, what's their motive for this? Like you said, like, they've been very aggressive, and that's why he fell in the draft. I mean, people thought, I mean, I remember when they made the deal, I was like, when they did the draft pick, I was like, you know what? It's a good pick. The Canadians have nothing to lose. He could be a star in like 2028 or something like that. Right. Yeah. Like teams thought, you know, you might get him in 2027 or something, but you're not getting him anytime soon. And then boom, you get him like that. You have to wonder how it happened behind the scenes, but I imagine the Canadians, they're going to be pretty secretive about it. They seem to have a pretty good relationship, obviously, with the Russians. So big, big, big stuff here, Mo. But I do agree. I would say this. I wouldn't tell people, oh, yeah, he's going to play on the top six and stuff like that. I would say, listen, let's let him get on the ice and practice, like, first. I would, like, don't set the expectations so high. And then, as you stated, you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if he's a big defensive liability or something like that in a playoff game, he's going to find himself in the press box, right? So I would sort of temper expectations as good as this kid is. But last thing I'll say, the NHL does seem to be the one league, guys. It seems crazy, right? Like, would they take a, like, would Clayton be thrown on an NBA playoff team right now? They'd be like, no, man, this kid ain't ready, right? Or even like Cooper Flagg, they'd be like, you know, oh, man, like, yeah, he's a star, but now we're not putting him on the Boston Celtics right now. We're going to the playoffs. Like, slow down with this. You see in hockey, guys, Makar has come in. You see a lot of Ryan Leonard. Ryan Leonard just came right from the NCAA tournament last week, just scored a goal for the Washington Capitals.
You know what,
so
Dave?
It's not crazy, Mo and Cam. You've seen this before. Hockey teams seem to be willing to say, you know what, we got room for a star kid going into the playoffs, and if it doesn't work, we'll just put him in the press box.
Great call with Makar, and that's the whole thing. All these NCAA players that were great and drafted by these teams in the Leafs, I'll use a lesser extent, Nyes. He came up out of nowhere and played a vital role in the playoffs. He was better than Matthews and these other guys when they called him up. So I'm going to say, Gabe, you're right. And that's what they're doing now with these NCAA guys. If you're like a real good guy and you're sitting there going, you can take us over the top, some of them could hop in and then they get acclimated to the NHL. I don't know how it's going to be with the KHL, but we know one thing, this kid's got a skill set. So it's going to be interesting. And it's just another player on the Canadians who are on a heater right now. But you're right. It is the only sport. You can't do it like other sports. You can't just say, hey, man, I'm an amateur. I'm going to play like with the best golfers in the world or basketball to the NBA or whatever. Hockey, it works, because if you're there and you play at these levels, you can get on a team and do damage like a lot of these kids did. Good point, Gabe.
I'll say this quickly, guys. Remember, the Canadians took a lot of flack, internationally speaking, because they went to Russia to see Demidov earlier this year, right? And people, and they were the first NHL team to go to Russia under the current geopolitical climate that they're in right now. And people wonder, what were they doing in Russia? And you saw why. They were laying the groundwork, the inroads to get Demidov ready to come to Montreal. And surprise, surprise, he'll be in the lineup at some point, whether it's this week or next week.
Exactly. And, you know, that's why I don't think they're going to be too open about it. They'll just be like, listen, he's here now. It's done. But the Canadians is the one thing, look, when they drafted the other kid that Bettman said don't draft, right? They really don't seem to care, to be honest, Mo, about, like, the public opinion. You know what I'm saying? Like, they did sort of get criticized, but no, it's true. They don't, right? They're trying to win. I guess you can give them credit for that. Like, they're like, we're going to put this aside. But, you know, like I said, you know, you can't hold it against like a Russian hockey player, right? Because of what his country is doing, right? So I don't have a problem with it. The Canadians is a big get for them. But moving forward right now, man, the Canadians really do look like their position, Mo, to be like the team to beat in a couple of years. They still have a couple of pieces to fill, obviously, but how many teams in the NHL have the amount of young talent that this team has? None, really.
Not, I mean,
quite frankly, when you add it up, like, you know, all right, you look at San Jose, it's like, yeah, you guys are, you've got a couple of really good young players, but it takes more than two. You know what I mean? The Canadians are stockpiling these blue chip players right now, man.
It's hard to find defense.
And they got the goalie Fowler in the pipeline,
exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Right? That's
another
goalie
thing,
too.
There's a lot of things
to
like.
Because to me, Montembeau's good, but he's not that next level. Like, no. The Canadians winning a cup in 5 years or something, Mo. I don't think Montembeau's the goalie. You know what I'm saying? They're not. They need a goalie. Yeah.
Cam will be the guy. And here's the thing, though. Right now, the Habs are going to go to a pretty big offseason, guys. They'll have a plethora of draft picks to work with this summer, and they need a second-line center. And, you know, I put it out there, Michael Haig, who they drafted last year from the University of Michigan, I think a Toronto kid, they could part ways with him because they have a depth now to say, look, we don't have a bare cupboard anymore. We can go get ourselves a legitimate second-line center because, guys, think about it right now. You have Hudson on a rookie deal, Demidoff on a rookie deal, right? You can kind of cash in on those cheaper contracts with a heavier, expensive salary. But the question now is, Hudson is going to be due a new salary after next season because he's on year two of his rookie deal moving towards year three.
Mo Card in the house with us. All right, we'll get Mo's thoughts on the Houston Cougars collapse, Malone's demise in Denver, and the NFL draft that we're now just 2 weeks away. We got a 4-3 baseball game. The Orioles are coming back, and they have the bases loaded right now in the seventh inning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. A lot of stuff to get to. So Mo Khan in the house with us. Mo, get your thoughts on Malone getting fired in Denver. You know, it's basically been reported that they were going to fire him after the playoffs anyway. So they figured, why not do it now? And maybe they get a shot in the arm because of the team chemistry. They've had a lot of problems there. Are you as surprised as everybody that Malone got fired along with the general manager as well in Denver?
I think the timing is surprising, but I think we knew it was inevitable, right? Because you saw those last 6-7 weeks since the All-Star break. They're 11-13. They've not played their best basketball. They've given up more points on the defensive end. And, you know, from the reports, the GM and Malone have not been talking since the championship run, right? They've had disagreements on player personnel issues, allegedly talking behind each other's backs, and no conversation whatsoever, right? I think Kroenke saw an opportunity to say, look, we need to jolt this team up here and get them back on 2 feet here because they've not played their best basketball. And now they're kind of slipping and sliding on this four-game losing streak. And you see how the West is now, guys, and how it's shaping up. They felt that, hey, we have to make a move now. And you have to think now for the future, right? For Jokic in particular, what is he thinking? Because they got his blessing to say, okay, you know, move off from Malone and go into a different direction, but can they convince him to stay? Because now we're seeing a lot of memes out there that he and Luka Doncic might team up at some point, whether it's this offseason or next year, and become Laker teammates down the road.
As you mentioned, Kroenke, too. So you got a GM and you have a coach who are both going to the ownership group and complaining about each other. Kroenke says, you know what, I'm going to get rid of both of you instead. So I think, I know that is interesting there. But you know, you're right about the Nuggets in a sense, though, Mo. Like, what I don't understand is with Kroenke, he has money, obviously, but he operates each team differently, right? That family operates each team in its separate entity, and they haven't been anywhere near the luxury tax. That's the big thing. They don't want to sign players. So if you're Jokic, he doesn't seem to be one of those guys. I don't think, like, he's the type of guy to complain and say, you know what, I want out. I could see him retiring first, almost, and saying, you know, I'm going to go be with my horses.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really like see him. I don't know if he's going to complain, but he almost has a right to. Like, the Nuggets have been pretty cheap. We'll put it that way. They don't want to spend money on players. They've got Jokic. They won their title, and they seem to be pretty complacent with it. And I saw today that we're talking about the owner basically told him, we're just trying to stabilize the franchise and keep the team here. And you want, you know, you think we can sign a bunch of stars. We can't. We lost money when we won a title. That's a thing too, Cam, in the NBA. You don't get rewarded for winning. This is why, like, baseball teams don't try. You don't really get rewarded for winning, guys. You know, I don't know if you guys saw Mark Cuban talking about it when he said why he sold the Mavericks. He goes, I'll tell you why I sold the Mavericks. He goes, I lost tens of millions of dollars every year with that team. He goes, I always tried to win. I gave people great deals on stuff. He goes, you still get ripped all the time. Everybody hates you. And he goes, I think he said he lost $300 million. He goes, I lost like $300 million over the years owning the Mavericks. You all think it was all some big party. He talked about luxury taxes, contracts. He talked about how he paid people well in the organization. What did he get for it, right? He ended up losing money. I hate to like be on the side of these billionaire guys, but the Cleveland Cavalier owner, same thing. Like he said, you know, he goes, I make more money when LeBron wasn't here. And people kind of thought, you're insane. Why would you say that? You know why, Cam? Because he did. He wasn't brilliant paying LeBron $60 million a year.
Exactly.
And he's still getting the TV money, right? Like, and then he talked about it. He goes, I got to get into the luxury tax and start paying these players. They lose money. Like, they really do.
It's fascinating. That's like, what do you think? And you don't think about things that way, but you're absolutely correct. Like, you got guys that
I'm not feeling sorry for them, but if you're cocky, I mean, guys, it's like Walmart money and stuff, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
come on.
What else they own? They own the Avalanche, the Nuggets, the Rams, Arsenal. Yeah, like big, that's like Monty Burns, Cam's saying. I'm a little broke right now, and his ceiling collapses.
Yes,
money.
Yes, times are tough. Like that's the money pile.
Yeah, I can see Malone getting frustrated, going, "Dear God, this guy owns like half the sports world, and I'm arguing with him about Aaron Gordon's contract."
To that point,
you know what I mean?
Like a lot of the time, ownership of sports, it sounds great and like it's gravy, but that's the thing. That's how your empire is still there, but there's other things you can make more money on. Money makes money, right? Sports teams don't help
rich
your
people,
bottom line.
Rich people are rich by not wanting to make other people rich.
Thank you.
It's in the Nuggets.
That is,
are
that's
you going,
it.
Are you going to,
they
you
don't
have to Masai
for
Ujiri.
Anything. Yeah.
If you're the Nuggets, are you going after Masai Ujiri? Because he's got connections to the Nuggets.
Well, they already
right?
had him.
And they had him, right? But the Nuggets, the Raptors and Ujiri have been kind of like, you know, they have not done much. You might look for a reboot, right? And if you're Mike Malone, if you're the Raptors, do you say, look, here's a great coach. His dad coached us way back in the day in the expansion era. Why don't we bring a Michael Malone to toughen up this team to take us to the next step here? You know, there's a lot of question marks for how this plays out.
You want to throw the Raptors coach out of the bus now, huh?
Oh,
Malone.
Geez,
I thought
like,
about
yeah,
it, too.
Yeah.
Malone, too.
Just tear it up.
Yeah, Brandon. Who is it? Brandon Malone, the first coach?
Brandon Malone.
So that's all these sons. Like, that's who took over. Adelman's kid took over in Denver now.
Yeah.
Rick Adelman, former Portland Trailblazers kid, David Adelman, will now coach the Denver Nuggets for the rest of the year. All right, Mo, we got about a minute here before we go to a break. What'd you think of last night's basketball game? Highest rated college basketball game final, actually, since 2019. For the record, The ratings are good. It's funny because people were complaining earlier, oh, there's no Cinderella. It's going to ruin college basketball. It's like, no, people want to watch Blue Bloods.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the prettiest game, but, man, Houston really let that championship get away from them, Mo. I thought Houston lost more than Florida won.
Right, 9 straight possessions of not scoring a point. Last 4 possessions, couldn't score, going to get shot off, right? And you think about it this way. Their 5 losses have been by 5 points or less this year, 3 in overtime. So they've played teams tough this year, guys. But when push came to shove, I thought Sampson just misjudged the whole process and how he looked at the final minute and a half of that ball game. And you saw, they didn't come up with the goods, and now they're second place, and Florida's the national champions.
It's a cold world. They really did. Like, that's, you can't be more dominant, like you said. You lose 5 times by 5 points or less in a season. Like, you've never been dominated once all year, and you're on the wrong side of it when it's all said and done. All right, we'll wrap up on the other side with Mo Khan, Cam Stewart. Tomorrow we're going to hit the Masters. Countdown to tee-off is on.
Yep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
Just talking about the Denver Nugget coaching situation. And listen, Malone's going to be a hot commodity. He's a well-respected coach. He's won a championship. He's going to get hired again. And Memphis just fired their coach. Mo brought up Toronto, which isn't crazy, but I think they like their coach. But as far as Malone is concerned, I can just imagine, like, Malone with Ja Morant is not something that would work. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, you need, like, Malone's like the bad cop. You need a good cop coach with Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, you can't have a bad cop, like, type approach with that team in that room. It's going to backfire on you. It would backfire on Malone there, but he's definitely going to be a hot commodity. All right, Mo, we were going over to draft here. Are you buying that Travis Hunter is now a lock to go to Cleveland like everybody believes with a second pick?
No, I don't think so. I think it's still some smoke. I think he doesn't get past the Giants at three, but I think Abdul Carter, they want to really do a thorough assessment of his foot, because remember, if he had no foot issues, we're talking about him being number two pick, right? Abdul Carter is a game wrecker. And I think for the Browns right now in that division, in that conference, they need pass rushers, guys. You're going up against Josh Allen, Joe Burrow twice. You're going up against Lamar Jackson twice in your own division. You need pass rushers. And, you know, Abdul Carter can definitely change the Browns' dynamics right now. And if they want to get a quarterback, they can go get Kirk Cousins afterwards. So I think a lot of smokescreen right now, guys, and how this is going to play out in the first four or five picks. Even Ashton Jeanty, I have a feeling the Patriots might look at him and throw a real curveball in this whole draft process, because Mike Vrabel loves running backs and wants to run and ground and pound for victories for the Patriots moving forward here.
Oh, bold Ashton Jeanty. I like where you go with that.
Think about it. Henry was the guy, right? In Tennessee,
I kind of agree. As far as Cleveland is concerned, just because everybody says this, and you listen, the odds makers don't know anything, so the sports books don't have any advantage over anybody here, but it doesn't really make sense. But Cleveland does a lot of things that doesn't make sense. But what do you think then, Mo, about the third pick, Shedeur Sanders to the New York Giants? I was talking with Rick Saratella about this earlier. Me and him both think that the Giants are bluffing people by not talking about Shedeur at all, when we all know they actually do love him. They've loved him for the last, like, 2 years. So I don't see why suddenly the love affair would stop. You got Russell Wilson on a one-year deal at $10 million. Jameis Winston's making, like, $4 million, bro. Like, you know, they got punter money at the quarterback position. You know what I mean? So it's not like they're like, oh, we're spending any money here. We're not spending any money on a quarterback position. I don't know. I'm believing that they won't let Shedeur Sanders get past them at three. What do you think the Giants do at three then?
Well, it's fascinating because Daboll and Shane have to save the job, right? Is Shedeur Sanders the guy that can save the job, or do they need the impact player? Because if Abdul Carter's there and Sanders is there, who are you taking? You already invested a lot in the pass rushing line with Thibodeau, Burns, and Dexter Lawrence as well. Do you need a fourth pass rusher? And I think right now for Shedeur Sanders, it's that smokescreen that we're going to play this game, guys, for the next 2 weeks or so, whether he goes to the Giants, whether he goes to the Saints, Pittsburgh, who knows what's going to happen in that range right now. But for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, do they believe Shedeur Sanders is the guy that can save their jobs? Because if they go other way, this might be a one and done for these guys, and they might be looking for new jobs next spring.
I don't buy that, though. if they were going to get fired, they already would have been fired. Like, they could not have embarrassed themselves more. Like, it's pretty clear they don't want to fire them.
Yeah, but the Giants don't want to go 2-and-out again, though. They've done the 2-and-out thing for the last three coaches. They don't want to do that again, right? And become a joke of, hey, it's an unstable organization when it comes to
like,
coaching.
Like, what more could Joe – what more could Joe Shane do to, like, worthy of getting fired besides, like, telling the owner nobody wants Saquon Barkley and don't worry, the Philadelphia Eagles
exactly.
don't want him. Like, what more could he do, Cam? Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I can't believe these guys are employed. Like, it's a clown
show. They paid
like,
Daniel Jones instead of Saquon yes. Barkley. So that's what I'm saying, Cam. Like, I don't think their job's in jeopardy. I don't think they can get fired. Like, I think they're pretty safe. Like, they even though they're kind of incompetent.
Yeah. Like, it's just they know where the bodies are buried because those guys can't get it right, and they still have
just
work.
For the record,
it's nuts.
Ashton Jeanty to the Patriots, fourth overall, is 20-1, Mo. That's a bold pick.
Woo-hoo, Mo! Big time.
I'm thinking, you know what? The Jags could take him, too. The Jags could take Ashton Jeanty with the fifth pick. I think the Raiders would take him if he falls to six. But he could, you know, I don't think he's going to go fourth to the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots went offensive line to protect Drake May. And then the Jags, I don't know. The Jags have a new coach, right? So I don't know what his approach is going to be. Mel Kiper's convinced it's going to be Mason Graham with the fifth overall pick. Michigan Wolverine. And for the record, Mason Graham's prop is over under 5.5. We'll have a lot of NFL props over the next week. Other than that, you're on your own later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.